Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful blood of Christ and your love and forgiveness. How blessed we are today. Oh my, how blessed we are. May we recognize it. May we thank you for it. I pray that you'd bless now the preaching of your word. May your will be accomplished in the message today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Open your Bibles again to Hosea chapter 3, and I want you to notice verse number 5, which is our text verse. And I want you to notice the last part of that verse where the Bible says, "And shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days." I don't know about you, but that seems a bit odd to me, to fear the Lord and His goodness. I would understand if it said, "Fear the Lord and His wrath." I would understand if it said, "Fear the Lord and His judgment." But it says, "Fear the Lord and His goodness." What would it mean to fear the Lord and fear the goodness of the Lord? That's what I want to preach this morning. And I want to give you somewhat of the context of the book, because that will help us to understand the message and the application of the message. The book of Hosea is a book of prophecy. I think we understand and we recognize that. And it dealt with not only the present time in which Hosea was a prophet to the nation of Israel, it also deals with prophecy concerning the nation of Israel in the future. How many of you are with me this morning? You're ready for the message, all right? Now, the life of Hosea was a picture, personal illustration of the work and prophecy of Hosea. His wife was unfaithful to him as a prophet. In fact, the Bible tells us in this book that she went out and she played the harlot. She gave herself to immorality. And she was a picture of the nation of Israel that God had redeemed or delivered from the land of Egypt, had given them the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, but they became a religious harlot in that they had left the God of heaven for the God of the heathen. How sad it is. In fact, it is equally sad to see not only the picture of the nation, but to see the nation itself leaving the God that loved them, the God that redeemed them, and the God that provided for them. Now, I want to say this morning, and it's important for us to hear, I want you to know this morning, God loves His people. He always loves His people. Now, that's pictured by Hosea's love for his wife, even though she was not at home. Even though she was living the life of the harlot, he was anxiously, prayerfully awaiting for her return. God, pictured by Hosea and his wife, God is waiting for His people that He has redeemed, that He loves, that He has provided for them to come back to fellowship with Him. Do you see the picture? And we read verse number 3, and it says that very plainly. Now, Hosea loved his wife, and when we come to this part of the story in chapter 3, we find that Hosea actually bought his wife back. The enemy had used her, they had abused her, and they sold her for actually half the price of a common slave. By the way, that's what the devil will do to anybody that leaves the fellowship with the Lord and tries to go back into the world. The devil is not looking for a relationship, he's looking to destroy one. He sold her for half the price. Hosea, anxiously, excitedly, he bought her back and he brought her home. That pictures what was happening with the nation of Israel. Now, let me give you a bit of an outline of the book of Hosea. I may be going too far into the context, but I want you to see it. I enjoyed the study of it. You could divide the book of Hosea into two parts. the tragedy of Hosea's home life, and then the second part, the tragedy in Hosea's homeland. The tragedy in his home life is divided in those first three chapters. We see the signs of the prophecy. We see the sins of her behavior. And then we see the Savior. He bought her back. And then the tragedy in the homeland, we see the people are polluted in chapter 4 through 7. We see the people are punished in chapter 8, 9, and 10. And we see the people are pardoned in chapter 11 through 14. May I stop and say that He is a God of love and forgiveness. I'm sure glad He loves me. I'm glad He loves me when I'm less than what I ought to be. And I'm glad I serve an amazing God of forgiveness beyond my understanding. Now, just as God was willing to love and care for the nation of Israel if they would come back to Him, Hosea would love and care for his wife if she would return in faithfulness to Him. And that brings us to verse number 5, where the Bible says, "Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness." Just as Hosea's wife was brought back by Hosea, permitted to come home, she had the opportunity to prove herself and to become worthy of His love and provision again. Now, this is important to understand for the message. They had known the goodness of the Lord. Israel had. Hosea's wife had known the goodness of His love. Both had lost that because of her adultery or immorality, because of the nation's sinfulness. They had not lost the love, but they had lost the care. They had lost the provision, and now they were coming back to that. Don't miss it. They were coming back to that, and He says here, it is important that you fear the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. And it becomes a little more clear now. I lost it once. I don't ever want to lose it again. There are many today that have the testimony, "I've been saved. But boy, after a while I backslid and went back out in the world. And boy, my life was miserable. I sure am glad I'm back in church. I'm back in the will of God." That's a wonderful thing. And the message today is to say we ought to have a fear not only of the Lord, but have fear of losing that goodness of the Lord. May I say this morning, the prodigal son was very blessed that he came back. Most prodigals die in the far country. Many that are away from God, they die in that condition. And there ought to be this morning an equal fear as there is a thankfulness for the goodness of God. Now, may I say this morning, you and I, if we're not careful, our lives will be illustrated by what He says, what God says in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2. I find that the average Christian is familiar with Romans chapter 1. I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 1, there is a condemnation of man that gives himself not only to uncleanness, but he comes to the place of unnatural affection, and the Bible says that God turns him over to a reprobate mind to work in his body those things that are unseemly or the things that are unnatural. And we quickly and we easily recognize that, and we often say to the world, they not only have gone in their sin, they've gone into evil and wickedness, and they've gone beyond that of natural affection to unnatural affection. There's no hope. Now, many are familiar with chapter 1, but I bring our attention to chapter 2, and He addresses here the respectable sinner. Me. You. Us. And look at verse number 4, and He says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Now stay with me. "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Can I tell you, the worst or most repulsive attitude that I see in our world today are those who are blessed with provision, and yet rather than having a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, they have a heart that says, well, I deserve it. In fact, I deserve more. And I'm going to tell you something, that attitude stinks. When we come to the place, we judge the world for their sin, but we don't look at the goodness of God and realize that God is so good to us, we ought to be on our knees every day praising the God of heaven for who He is and thanking Him for His goodness to us today. There ought to be a fear about this matter, not just a fear of the Lord, but a fear of the goodness of the Lord. May I say it again today? And this, I had prepared this message to be the final Sunday morning message in this place, as I believe that we would move next week. It's going to be another week, so I'll prepare another final message. Of course, they say of preachers, the longest part of their sermon is now in closing. And they're like an airplane trying to land in a storm. They just keep circling the field. But I want to say this morning, we are a blessed nation. I want to say this morning, we're a blessed people. I want to say this morning, we're a blessed church. Go with Pastor Garcia back into a country where he will be in just a few weeks, where the Word of God is not permitted by law, and police officers are following you to see what you're doing, and understand that you would have the likeliness of going to jail for preaching the Word of God. And here we are this morning, and the average Christian in church across America has to be entertained to give their attention rather than saying, God's been so good to me, I want to know what the Word of God has to say. I'm interested in what God has for me this morning. And I want to say this morning, God's been good to us, and we ought to thank God for His goodness. But the Bible says here, and thou shalt fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. There are three things I want to say this morning about that. Number one, I fear losing the goodness of the Lord. I don't want to lose the goodness of God. I enjoy the goodness of God. I've often said there's nothing wrong with the great blessings of God, but there's something wrong with not being grateful for the blessings that God has given to us. So I have a fear this morning. I fear losing the goodness of God. For 33 years, I've dreamed many dreams. I've taken many steps of faith. I've set many goals. I've been through many battles, and the Lord has been faithful in all of it. And as I look back over these years, I thank God for His goodness and for His faithfulness and for His blessing. I don't want to take for granted the goodness of God to the place that I would lose the blessings of the Lord. I'm thankful for every soul that's been saved and every person that's been baptized in this church. Brother Davis, this morning as he taught his Sunday school class, he told them this may be our last Sunday or next Sunday, our last Sunday here in our class here. How many of you were saved and or baptized here in our church? He said the majority of the teenagers raised their hand. This is the place that they were baptized. God's been mighty good to us. I stood in every aisle and I walked in every aisle and in the balcony this morning, and I said, Lord, thank you for every soul that's walked an aisle. Thank you for every person that got right with God. Thank you for every life that has been changed. And I don't want to come to the place I take for granted the blessings, to the place that I would lose the blessings of the Lord. I thanked Him this morning for how He's provided the finances, how He's provided the opportunities for ministry that were beyond the dreams that I had. I'm thankful for the many radio stations and the television ministry and the bus ministry, our Sunday school classes and Christian education and all that God allows us to be a part of this morning. I want us to say, thank you, God, for your goodness to us. And we ought to have a fear to say, I don't ever lose the goodness of God. I bring to your attention the prodigal son. He lost the blessings of the father. He didn't think about losing them until they were gone. the 10 spies that came back from the land of Canaan, and they gave what God called an evil report. It was an evil because it included iniquity, or it included curse words. It was evil because it was a lack of faith in the promises of God. And they gave an evil report, and you know what they did? They lost the blessings of God. They died in the wilderness. They never drank of the milk and ate of the honey. They never enjoyed the blessings. I don't know about you. I don't want to die this side of the blessing. I want to enjoy every blessing God would have for our church and family. Korah rebelled against Moses, and he lost the blessings of the Lord and those that followed him. Absalom rebelled against his father, and he lost the blessings of the Lord. Those with limited faith, as we walk through the New Testament, where Jesus would say, "Often, O ye of little faith," or the Bible said he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. I have a fear that I would lose the blessing of God. I want to walk close to him. I want to be pleasing to him, because I want to enjoy the blessings of God throughout this life. When I was a boy and a young teenager, I so much enjoyed the love and friendship of my dad. My dad went to heaven 34 years ago this past week on August 27. I never wanted to lose his trust. I never wanted to lose his love or his respect for me. There was a concern I had. I don't want to do anything that I would lose his love. I don't want to do anything I would lose his respect. I wanted him to be proud of me as a father. And my Heavenly Father, this morning, I want him to be pleased in me as a son. I fear losing the blessings of the Lord. And he said the day would come that they shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. I'll give you the second thing. I fear transferring our love from the God of the goodness to the goodness of the God. I fear transferring our love from the God of the goodness to the goodness of God. May I say, don't fall in love with the blessing, fall in love with the blesser. As you read the story of the children of Israel, they allowed the blessing to become bigger than the God of the blessing. They allowed the blessing to become bigger and have their attention. The things that God gave them land, and he told them, he said, I'll bless the fruit of the land. I'll bless the fruit of the cattle. He said, I want you to know I'm the one that causes the cattle to give birth to the calves. I want you to know that I'm the one that blesses the grain and causes it to grow. I'm the one that put the kernels of corn on the ears of corn. I'm that God. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to work 6 days, and the seventh day, I want you to rest. And then there were times every 7 years that a piece of land would have to rest, and they wouldn't use that. And of course, it was good for the land to rebuild the important nutrients of the ground. But what God was doing is saying, look, don't fall in love with the grain and the blessings of the grain so much you forget me. So on one day, I don't want you to work. And on the seventh year, it's a Sabbath year. And every 50th year is a Jubilee year. That's mine. Make sure you give it to me. But you know what they did? They fell in love with the blessing so much, they started working 7 days a week. They ended up in captivity for 70 years. May I say, God gets what's his? I'd rather have the blessing of him getting what's his by giving it to him with a joyful heart rather than losing it in bitterness and anger. I don't want to ever look at the blessing as being greater than the blesser. On October 3rd, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln made a speech in Washington, D.C., and he said, the year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, we are prone to forget the source from which they came. Others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. May I say this morning, there ought to be a fear of God and a fear of those blessings. We ought to fear that we would have a greater love for the blessing than we did the blesser. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse number 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Oftentimes, and in our culture today, Thanksgiving, the holiday of Thanksgiving that was founded with an attitude and a gratitude of recognition of God, not of things, but of God, has been turned around opposite. And folks are being told it will help you to be thankful for the things you have. I understand that, but that's missing more than half of it. We ought to be thankful for the things we have, but we ought to be thankful for the person who gave us and provided those things for us. Hosea's wife was used and abused and thrown away. She now had the opportunity to come back to a husband that would love her and provide for her. She ought to have a fear of losing that again. She ought to have a fear of seeing the blessing greater than the blesser. The psalmist said in Psalm 116 in verse number 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" There was a time in America nobody struggled with tithing. Nobody struggled with that. You know why? Because they recognized not just their blessings, they recognized the blesser. And they joyfully gave. Today it seems as a difficult task for one to look and say, "But wait a minute, I earned all of that and I worked hard." I understand all of that, but He's the one that gave me the mind to think and the breath to breathe and the strength to move. It is no difficult task at all to say to God, "I give to You what belongs to You." Then last of all, I say, I fear an attitude of pride in the goodness of God as if it's deserved. I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Deuteronomy. Oh, I wish I had more time this morning. Deuteronomy, I may come back in after you all leave and finish preaching this sermon to me. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11. Verse number 11. The children of Israel are not yet in the land of Canaan. They've not yet crossed the Jordan River. They've not yet received their inheritance. And God gave them a warning through Moses, the lawgiver. And I want you to notice what He says. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who led thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, and that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end." Verse 17, "And thou shalt say in thine heart, My power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." You see this passage of Scripture, God's not against blessing. He is the giver of blessing. Nobody enjoys caring for his children like our Heavenly Father. And I say this morning, what a shame. I say this morning, what a sin it is to take the goodness of God and look at it and say, it was my strength, it was my might that got all of that. I remind you this morning to look toward heaven and say, it is God that gave me the strength. It is God that gave me the ability. Hence, he says in the book of Hosea, I want you to understand there is to be a fear of the Lord and his goodness. We ought to fear losing the goodness of God. We ought to fear coming to the place that the blessing is greater than the blesser. And we ought to fear pride coming in where gratefulness ought to be. Proverbs 16, verse number 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You see, we ought to fear pride because pride would rob us of those blessings. Pride would rob us of our relationship with the blesser. We ought to have a fear of that pride. A young man, as a teenager, became rebellious against his mom and dad. And their arguments became worse and worse. His unkindness became vile and vulgar. And one day, as he cursed his parents, he left to say he would never return. And that's how he left mom and dad. He joined the military. He fulfilled a term of service in the military. He heard the gospel, and he trusted Christ as Savior. As soon as he trusted Christ as Savior, his heart was broken toward his behavior and the days of how he had so mistreated his parents. He wrote his mom and dad a letter. He had not talked to them in some years. He wrote them a letter, and he told them that he had been saved. And he asked them if they would forgive him for his pride and for his anger and for the treatment that he had given to them as a teenager and as a young man. He said, Mom and Dad, he said, if you would be willing to forgive me, I'm going to come home in a few months on the train. And when I come home on the train, as I recall, the train comes by our house, would you tie a ribbon on the old tree out front to let me know that I'm forgiven and I'm welcome to come back home? The day came and the young man boarded the train to make his journey back home. It would be that day that he would sit beside a preacher, an evangelist that traveled and preached the country. He was on his way to a meeting and he told the preacher, he said, when I was young, I was foolish and ignorant. I mistreated my mom and dad, and he told him the whole story. He said, I left one day in a rage of anger and I cursed and I swore at my mom and dad and I told them I would never be home again. But he said, preacher, since then I've gotten saved. I've written my mom and dad a letter and I ask them to forgive me. I've not heard from my mom and dad. In the letter, I asked them if they would put a ribbon in the big tree out in front of their house, and I would know if they put a ribbon there, I would be welcome to come home. He shared that story with the preacher. They got closer and closer to where the boy grew up. He got close to the place. He said to the preacher, he said, I can't bear to look. He said, it breaks my heart to think that my mom and dad wouldn't forgive me, though I don't deserve it. I can't look. Preacher, would you look for me? The train came around the bend and it started close to where the old home place was. And he patted the boy on the leg. He said, son, you can look. I want you to know that tree is in full bloom. It has ribbons tied all over that tree. And I want to tell you something today. I don't care how far you may have wandered from God. We've got a God that loves us. We have a God that cares for us. And as Hosea's life and his relationship with his wife pictured a wandering nation, that had left the God that had loved them. He said, I want you to come back. I love you. And he said, when you come, you ought to fear the Lord and His goodness. I don't know about you, but when I leave this world, I want to leave this world in a perfect relationship with God and enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? Perhaps you're here and you're out of the will of God. You wonder if God would forgive you. The Bible said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I want you to know this morning, God loves you. The purpose of the message is not necessarily the focus of forgiveness, but it's a focus on us having a fear that we would lose our gratitude, we would lose our thankfulness and replace it with a selfishness or replace it with a pride. May God help us to be grateful, not just for, but to Him for His goodness. Heavenly Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know You as Savior, I pray they today would trust You as their personal Savior. I pray if there's one here today that's in the beginning of their wandering, perhaps they're at that time in the process when the young prodigal son was thinking and preparing to tell his parents, I want my inheritance to go into the far country. And perhaps those wasted years could be shunned if today they would hear the call of the Holy Spirit to stay right with God. I pray, Lord, that You would have Your will and way. You've blessed so many times in so many services. Holy Spirit of God, would You bless again to save the lost? Lord, to bring the sinner, the backslidden, back to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.